Finally, we're approaching the last phase in compilation, which is the actual code synthesis. So, code generation is usually a thing that is performed on the abstract syntax tree of some input, and it's an inductive process in the sense that you usually have an understanding of how to generate code for each production of the grammar, and the code that you would produce for each of those you would store into an attribute in the syntax tree. Thus you would do this code generation thing usually as an attribute system that also usually retrieves some additional information from attributes that have been provided by earlier analyses like type information and declaration use analyses and all that. However, what do you actually really need in order to generate code? Well, you need some specification of the source language. For our purposes in this chapter, this will be the NZC standard, or at least a fraction of that we will focus on, and a semantics of the actual targeted machine, or well, in that sense, it would be machine instructions for our target machine. Yeah, and this is a thing that we want to keep independent of actual real hardware. Instead, we're gonna focus on the largest common infrastructure that usually practical machines do have. So we will introduce our own virtual machine for as a compilation target, which we will create in a quite general fashion. Yeah? And that's what we're gonna specify during this chapter also. Yeah. So maybe first of all, a few general things about the machine that we have chosen for translating to, which is the so-called register C machine. That's how we have baptized that. The register C machine, or for short, RCMA, so this is going to be the abbreviation, is considered to be a virtual machine. So there's no actual process in terms of hardware that can execute the instructions that we're going to produce. However, it should be fairly obvious how to build an interpreter for that, as the instructions and the modifications that are done by those are usually quite easy to implement in actual machine instructions for some arbitrary architecture. So what is out there is a visualization environment for the RCMA that should be downloadable, that you can use in order to let those programs run if you like so. And well, with that, we are already in the middle of what the characteristics of that machine are. So there is the question of what types can the registers in such a machine have. And for our purposes, we exclude the floating point types, so double float and so on will not be present. Also, we don't see a lot of benefit to gain from including different sizes of types in there. So short, long character, all those byte will be spared out. Instead, we're just gonna tackle plain integers in the RCMA. Yeah. What also is missing is communication with the operating system, since we don't really focus on one particular operating system or anything like that. There These are things that we would consider to reside in some kind of library that would be externally loaded or something like that. So also for the translation schemes that we have, we don't really need communication with the operating system at that point. And finally, the last and most characteristic property of the RSema is what we see here, which is the unlimited supply of registers. Wow, isn't that nice? Well, yeah, of course, for generating code, it's usually very nice to have as much registers as possible. You might wonder whether that is a realistic approach. Well, it seems a little bit unrealistic, of course, to have an unlimited supply of registers. However, it just takes another pass on this code in order to impose restrictions on the number of registers and spill everything else on the stack, for example. So it can be translated back to a limited register machine quite or fairly easy. However, there's a lot of machines out there in the wild that do actually work in such a way. So virtual machines, of course, that do have as their instruction format a format that has unlimited supply of registers. So there's, for example, the Android app engine like Dalvik VM or nowadays Art, or similarly there is the LLVM intermediate representation, which is also based on register like entities, and they are in that sense quite similar to what the RSema is gonna be. So usually the interpreter of such an RSema, again, is of course executing some kind of compilation in that sense, but it's not a compilation of a very large gap as we have it from C to RSema. It's merely solving things like spilling out superfluous registers to the stack and mapping instruction codes to real instruction codes and all that. So that's not a big deal to actually really implement anymore. Yeah? Okay. So what do you need for a virtual machine? So usually there's several components to that. You need, of course, an instruction set for something like that. And what makes up an instruction set? Well, this is usually only making sense if you specify it together with an reference hardware and how those instructions are actually then executed on that reference hardware. Yeah, so without that, you wouldn't have any semantics of the actual instructions. The hardware for a virtual machine, well, is of course not real hardware that you can really touch or anything, or that's soldered onto some board or anything. Instead, the hardware is usually consisting of, well, simulated hardware in terms of data structures that can be modified by the actual virtual machine instructions. Yeah, but they usually have a similar purpose as particular hardware would have in a real world machine. Yeah, and then there's usually also some supporting stuff like the runtime system that might also fiddle a little bit with the VM at some point. So there might be a few functions that go beyond what the instruction semantics can do, and this is considered to be part of the so-called runtime system. For example, what would we consider a part of our particular runtime system would be the so-called interpreter of the programs, but we're going to come to that in a minute. So what are the typical components or simulated hardware facilities of our SEMA? So this is, by the way, things that you can also find usually when you translate Java to something like the Dalvik VM. So there is usually different memory storages, memory regions. So there is things like the data store, or just plain S in that sense, which we find here. That is a memory region where we can just access in last in, first out orders. So it's a so-called stack in that sense. And for managing that stack, like access patterns, we get a register that we call the stack pointer that points to the last used cell within the data store. Yeah? So whatever is not organized in that way, but which comes sort of after the stack in that sense, so like over here, this is where we would have, for example, the heap in that sense. The other large part of the virtual machine is the so-called code memory. Yeah, so this abbreviated C thing. This is where we store the actual code to execute. So each cell in that, for our purposes, holds exactly one RCMA virtual instruction. And also what is fixed for that is that this is a read-only section of the memory. So the code memory can only be read in that sense. In order to manage where our program is currently considered to be in terms of computation state, we need to point to the next instruction that is intended to be executed. So this is what an associated special purpose register called program counter is going to be doing. Initially, this is going to point to the start of the code section in cell 0, but will be possibly incremented when the machine goes on interpreting a program. And with that, we are already in this interpreter part of the whole machine, which is part of the runtime system. So the virtual machine usually loads an instruction from the code section that we have already seen on the last slide at a particular position, which is given by the program counter, into another special purpose register, which is the instruction register, and there it lies around in order to be executed. So after this is then interpreted, then usually a program counter would by default be incremented by just one, and then be the whole interpretation loop starts once again. So yeah, so you see in a kind of pseudocode how this interpretation function could be realized in software, of course, in that sense. So, and one thing maybe of note is, although I said that the program counter would be incremented by one after after the instruction is executed, we usually like to increment it before the instruction is really evaluated. Why is that? Well, this has to do with instructions that might manipulate the program flow, like jumps, for example, or loops, or function calls and all that. And those usually like to determine where program flows to. And now we get already a preview into what we're going to do a little bit later on. This is going to be realized semantically by the interpretation of that instruction in terms of just storing the program flow target index into the program counter. And if I do my program counter incrementing after I've done my execution, then I will mess with whatever has been done during the execution. So I usually do this manipulation before I do the interpretation of the instruction. Yeah. So with that done, of course, this would loop forever, as you see sketched in there. So there is maybe need for at some point terminating a user program, and this is then realized as a particular special purpose instruction halt that's gonna be put in there, and the execution of the halt instruction would then terminate the virtual machine. Yeah? And that's the general concept of the virtual machine. So you have these components, virtual hardware that is represented as data structures, together with a runtime engine that, apart from a few other things, consists of such an interpretation loop that executes the RCMA program. And with that, we can then continue to delve deeper into actual code generation matters.